There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan.
My brother from another mother.
On FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile on this Monday. Glad to have you along. Easy to get in touch as well. 251-343-0106. 251-343-0106 for a call or a text and a reminder, too. With the FM Talk 106.5 app, you can always leave us a talkback message. It is also Rodeo Week, Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo. The Roy Martin was Saturday for the kids. I saw a lot of great pictures for kids out there fishing. The big rodeo starts at the Cannon Shot on Friday. We're going to be out at the Liars Contest. I'm back as a judge this year on Thursday night, and this show live from the rodeo on Friday, and then another show on Saturday as well. We'll talk with folks from the rodeo coming up in hour number two. Also, my buddy Mike Bunn from Historic Blakely State Park joins us on today's show. And our leadoff batter, you know him, you love him. He is the man behind Alabama Daily News and the host of Capital Journal. Crowd goes wild for the one Todd Stacey. Hey, Todd.
Hey, Sean. How's it going?
I'm good, man. I'm good. I guess we're going to start off with the biggest, you know, political story, the surprising death of Lindsey Graham. Your reaction to that?
Well, yeah, it's awful. I mean, just obviously untimely. It was shocking when I woke up Sunday morning to hear that. You know, if you had seen pictures of him lately, he did not look good. And I think
he's 71. You know, it's funny how I just had my 54th birthday here. And, you know, when I was in my 20s, man, 70 years old. Now I'm like, 70's not that old.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, I just got off the Peloton, put it that way. I'm back in the saddle trying because I need to get healthy. But he just didn't look good. And but I can't say enough about Lindsey Graham. He lived down the street from me. On Capitol Hill, and would always he loved the Thai restaurant right across the street, and just the nicest guy. I mean, for a pretty senior senator, was not assuming and would talk to everybody, and yeah, just a really accomplished guy. I know when politicians pass away, people try to, in these days, for whatever reason, try to figure out, okay, was he with me? You know, was he of my mind politically, or was he not? But, you know, with Lindsey Graham, it kind of would vary. I mean, you know, he was pushing immigration reform in 2008, something I don't think that Trump or Trump supporters would care for these days. But so he was very much somebody who kept his own counsel, his own man politically, but a true statesman, I think, who will be missed.
Yeah, you know, as I said at the end of Jeff's show, I mean, if you listen to the show, you know, over the years, I disagree with him most of the time. I would always say, here's a rare exception where I agree with Lindsey Graham, but still, you know, I'm not going to, I just saw a lot of, like, things that shouldn't have, you know, I was like, my gosh, the guy's dead, you know, let it be.
Right, exactly. And for what, you know, for whatever disagreements you might have had, like, that's fine. We can all disagree and...
I don't hate people.
I respect the guy. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I worry, you know, I mean, mine's usually if they're neocon, then, you know, I'm pretty much contrary to them. But still, you know, the guy's passed away here. And interesting, too, Dalton and I were talking about it, and I know they talked about it on the morning show, that he passed away. And I know this is tacky, y'all, but I'll be tacky for a second, with like $1.5 million, you know, to his name or estate. And I, that, either somebody's going to say, well, it's hidden somewhere or whatever. But for somebody who'd been there that long, if they were, if he was taking money, yeah, if he was taking money, that's pretty low. There's junior, I mean, the junior senators and members of the House that do way better than that.
Yeah, I was about to say, that sounds like, you know, he was too focused on his actual job. I mean, most people, and I don't think this is a good thing, most people who serve a long time like that end up pretty wealthy. Well, uh-huh. Because you've got time to sit around and let your investments gather. And, like, think about Richard Shelby. In his case, it was real estate, which is obviously a very good investment. And so, like, you know, it's not all nefarious. I'm just saying, yeah, that's a low number.
Yeah, what was that? Yeah, so Shelby in the real estate, what? I mean, other than the stuff that, you know, has his name on it in our state, but I'm talking about his personal portfolio. Is that where he made his money?
Yeah, I mean, he was in the real estate business before he got into politics. And so, you know, that's one of those things. If you can get in early, especially in a college town, you know, town like Tuscaloosa, mm-hmm. I mean, over the years, you can really do a lot. And so I think he's, of course, I mean, I don't know how wealthy Shelby is. I'm sure he's done just fine. But it was his campaign war chest that was so significant. I mean, he had $19 million in his campaign mm-hmm. war chest, and that was significant. And he held on to it till the very end and helped Katie out.
That's for sure. Here's my segue. Here we go. We're talking about real estate, so follow with me, y'all. I'm segueing into a story from Todd and Alex over at AlabamaDailyNews.com. Bipartisan housing bill becomes law without Trump's signature. Now, I had talked about this, a couple weeks ago when it came up, but this is to tackle affordability or whatever. That's the idea behind it.
Yeah, I mean, well, there have been problems with the housing industry, and by that I mean not just building houses, but selling houses, buying houses, and even apartments, right? Renting and all that for a long time. This has been an affordability issue. So I know this piece of legislation has evolved over the years, but it's one of those that, you know, first of all, the White House, the president was a part of this. Like, they were very much in favor of this. And I don't know all the details. I know that Senator Britt was involved in some of the, you know, get folks off of government assistance part.
Yeah, there was a break with our senators, right? I mean, it was Coach was...
he voted no.
No, and then Britt voted yes, right?
Right. Well, and that's not a surprise that Britt voted yes, because she helped write the bill. I mean, she's the
right,
chairman.
But I mean, there was that split between her and Coach Tuberville.
Right. I think, what they told us, what they told Alex in D.C., what Senator Tuberville said was, well, yeah, I'm with the president that we got to pass the Save America Act first. And so it wasn't necessarily a policy difference. It was the same kind of thing out of protest. That we've got to pass Save America Act first before any other bill mm-hmm. passes. So that's what the president was doing, saying, I don't know if you remember, he canceled a signing ceremony because
yep.
this thing passed overwhelmingly. They had a signing ceremony set up in the Capitol with all the flags and the podium and the desk and the pens. And that day, and they canceled it like a minutes before it was going to happen. Just because the Save America Act hadn't passed yet, which, I mean, I get maybe as a tactic, but...
But it wasn't good. It didn't have teeth, right? Because exactly what's happened here, he didn't have to sign it.
Well, he didn't, yeah, he could have. I guess he could have vetoed it, but, I mean, it would have been overridden. But, like, mm-hmm. they don't have the votes to pass the Save America Act in the Senate. They just don't. And so...
Isn't that crazy? You've seen the polling on it, right? I mean, independents and Democrats support this.
Well, yeah, but everybody doesn't think the same way in the Senate. You've got the people, you know, representing very purple states, and those are the ones generally, you know, that don't support it. And you've got to get to, you don't just have to get to 50 votes, you got to get to 60. Mm-hmm. You can try to do it through reconciliation. I think that's dubious. But you probably don't even have a majority. You certainly don't have 60. So it's just kind of like cutting off your nose to spite your face. This was a big win, a big, big win for Republicans in Congress to say, hey, we've tackled the very issue that we were sent to Washington to tackle, and that's affordability. I mean, there's a lot of other issues, and you know, health care, electricity prices, you know, go down the grocery prices, go down mm-hmm. the list, but at least this, we were able to do something. But I guess we're in soccer parlance these days. It's kind of an own goal, or at least, I don't know, just a mistake. It was a mistake. So, but the bill passed. The bill became law without the president's signature. So really, he just passed up on a big win. The other reason it's a problem is because it empowered the House, including just running rank and file members of the House, to say, okay, we're going to do the same thing. We're not going to pass anything else until the Senate passes the Save America Act. Well, okay, that means you're not passing appropriations bills, means you're not passing the NDAA, National Defense Authorization Act, or any of the other very important must-pass bills, protesting a bill that will not pass.
Right.
And so it's just, you got to be able to chew bubble gum and walk at the same time. this is just bad politics. It's bad politics in a year where they really need to rack up wins, and to you know, give up a win is insane to me.
All right, before we finish,
put it this way, Sean. In her press release to essentially take credit for this bill passing, Senator Britt couldn't even say anything about the bill. She talked about the Save America Act, said nothing about the bill itself. But that tells you just how influential Trump is over these senators.
For sure, and back here at home. I was interested in the stories. I've wondered about what happened to Cash App. I remember being advertised around, and obviously they hadn't been doing their job properly, to the point that I think what our state gets part of this multi-state settlement.
Yeah, so the Attorney General announced that he took part in this lawsuit against Cash App. I don't have Cash App. I'm more of a Venmo.
Yeah, I don't have Cash App either. I do wonder if the $600,000 we're getting in the settlement does arrive by Cash App. I don't know.
could they Venmo that to me? Well, generally that stuff goes to efforts to try to help people not get taken advantage of and things like that, and probably some compensation. But I hope it's more accountability. It seems like Cash App was kind of the fast and loose of those apps. I guess I shouldn't be surprised that they were running it fast and loose.
There it is. All right. This story and a whole lot more you can check out at alabamadailynews.com. You can just go there, or if you might need a reminder, 6 days a week, how do they get signed up?
Yeah, it's really easy. Just go to aldailynews.com. Enter your name and your email, and you'll be on the list.
Okay, and talk about if people did not catch the show, Capital Journal, they can always go back on YouTube, like me.
Yeah, YouTube, it's really easy. That's how a lot of people watch, or at least most people record it. But just go to YouTube, look at Capital Journal. You'll like this episode, though. We talk a lot about the Bridge Project, including with State Senator Chris Elliott, who really, I think, did a good job kind of enunciating or articulating the locals down there and the pros and cons. And I encourage you to go watch that, Senator Elliott.
Y'all need to hear that. And that discussion has been interesting down here. The people that have lined up behind it this time, it's very different than 2019.
Yeah, and he's not all puppies and rainbows about it. I appreciate it because that's what I asked him. Hey, what's it going on down there? And I thought he did a good job of representing that on the show.
Good stuff. As always, I appreciate our conversations, and we'll do it again next week.
All right, Sean, be good.
All right, there goes Todd Stacey. We're coming right back. 251-343-0106 to get in touch on the Midday Mobile.
Is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:24 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Hey, by the way, congratulations to Buddy Garrett, winner of the first week of the America 250 Showcase, the weekly portion here. He's in for a photo of the Blue Angels and the Thunderbirds flying in Super Delta formation at the White House. And so you got that picture. That was week one winner. Week two is going on right now. So make sure you go to facebook.com/FM Talk 106.5. Get your patriotic photo in there. And we'll talk more of the details. But you can see on our Facebook page where you put your picture up, pinned to the top of the Facebook stack. because Leanna does so much stuff on there. We've got to keep it up top. You can see it there, and you can put your picture in. Also, if you want to see the rules, they're there, and they're also on our Facebook or our website, fmtalk1065.com. The grand prize, all the goodies in there, but we'll talk about that later. But in the meantime, if you want to check it out, fmtalk1065.com, or to post your picture and get details, Facebook/fmtalk1065. All right, to the text line, CB Carl said, Sean, I agree with you completely. Talking about someone who's passed away in the ways that I've heard is reprehensible. I'd like you have talked about also having friends I disagree with on a lot of things, but that has no effect on our friendship. I guess hate is what sells these days. There's a lot of that is true. Let's see, Paul. I'm making big push to drop 50. I got 24 to go in the gym often, but now cutting also. I'm tempted. Here's my worry. And I absolutely, and if my physicians are listening right now, they're like, yeah, boy, drop some. This is my logic for not losing the weight right now, because if I do it, then people are just going to think I took the shot. See, that's why that I won't get credit for the sweat and the denial of snacks. And so, I mean, you know, and people just, oh, he's on the fat shot. See, so I wouldn't get the credit. That's my, that's what I've been telling myself lately. You like that? Scrovereen, anti-Graham conservatives need to be told by sharp-tongued commentators that they look like liberal psychos when they celebrate the death. Yeah, and Scrovereen, you probably realized over time I was most of the time polar opposite of Lindsey Graham on stuff, but I mean, he's dead. How about this? Which one would you have picked? Honestly, if I went to you last week, we went to Calshi or whatever the thing is, and said, who dies first, Mitch McConnell or Lindsey Graham? Be honest, who would you have taken? I mean, when everybody's, you know, that's like getting, you know, it's the punch you didn't see coming, right? Everybody's focused on McConnell, and it ends up being Lindsey Graham. Thank you. Rock and Roll Doctor said Shelby owned title companies. Okay. Yeah, I really hadn't. I was ignorant until Todd said that, you know, how he made his money. Let's see. Michael, that Housing Act is atrocious, and it's also a huge expansion of Section 8. Yeah, we talked about it a little bit the other day on the show. I don't know if we went in-depth, but it's, I mean, I was getting anything that comes out of Washington, it's not perfect, of course, but I've read some things that it's like, when it says it's like more homes and more communities, a lot of that, I think, if make sure I have this correct, but a lot of it was not frame houses, right? Pre-built houses, right? That is just, if you're going to bring more pre-built, which, by the way, we need to get time to, I've floated this story for about a week here. If we get time, they're building houses using robots and AI, right? You probably not surprised about this. But what's holding it up is financing. You get a 3D printed house. They got robots doing these 3D printed houses, right? But they haven't taken off because there's been most of the lenders out there are hesitating to write a mortgage on them. It's fairly interesting. Hopefully we'll get to that in the second hour. Let's see. Michael, no, this next unnamed texter, maybe your guest needs to run for office to see and understand how important the SAA is, LOL. Which one are you talking about, Todd? Let's see. Hey, Sean, what you think of the arena announcement? Surely they could have found a better opening act. Was Wet Willie busy? What? What was it? Oh, I did see that. The person, you know why it didn't click with me? Jason, is because I had no idea, but that's, you know, fair enough. I don't know everything. You know, I did a couple decades in music, but it was in, you know, rock radio. But Matt Matthews says, has been booked for the first, yeah, that's the first show that will be at the new arena. I think that's, yeah, the Alabama native Matt Matthews bring his Not What I Ordered World Tour to Regions Arena March 6th of 2027. performance will mark the first comedy show at the Regions Arena. I got, if you want to look at, I've got an Alabama comedian that is, I really think he's very, very funny. We should put there. So, yeah, I don't know. That's been booked. It's announced, and there it is. All right, coming right back. More Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:35, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. 251-343-0106. And I tell you what, we'll just go ahead and continue the conversation I was just having with my buddy and the director over at Historic Blakely State Park, also author extraordinaire, and not as often as I want, but sometimes guest on the show, Mike Munn. Hey, Mike.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good. So yeah, what we were talking about, y'all, is what I did over the 4th. So y'all just bear with me. I'll just have the conversation. Mike and I are just talking. So you know what a nerd I am on this stuff. So we did the Freedom Trail, you know, and the Granary Cemetery and all that, and then standing there at Faneuil Hall and the old State House, and went there for the reading of the Declaration. Did Lexington and Concord, did the whole trail with the interpretive, the guide on that, all the footsteps of the of that trail. It was awesome.
Oh, I bet it was. That's a legit history nerd trip right there.
It was pretty cool. Now my partner, she was tolerant of that, and then we went to nice dinners, and we did the fireworks over the Charles River. But yeah, I completely nerded out, No big surprise. I just was thinking about you on that trip. I said Mike would enjoy this.
100%.
And we'll get back to some history here, which I love to talk about with you. But let's talk about what's going to make history. You like that segue?
I love it.
It's coming up. You're bringing the Birds of Prey to Blakely.
Yeah, we've got a big day planned this Saturday. We're going to have Auburn University's Raptor Center here again, and they do two programs for us during the day, and we've just built a lot of other kids' programs around it. We've got a thing going on in the morning where they can see some of one of our habitats. We've got a search and rescue program. Even got the ice cream truck in the park. So we're going to have a big day. Got a cruise on top of that. So a lot of things going on Saturday morning.
I'm going to come back to the cruise and all that. But, yeah, on the birds here, right, coming in with the Raptor Center, you hit this. I don't know if you like certain critters all of a sudden get real popular on social media. Like, I mean, I like all critters. I'm into this. But owls, do you know that, like, I think the kids should come to see falcons and hawks, and eagles, but the kids are crazy for owls, Mike. I don't know if you've noticed that.
We have, and we try to make sure we have some owls in the presentation. There's something about an owl that's just endearing. I don't know. They're unique critters, but they usually have one with them when they do the presentation.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you need. You got the ice cream truck, and you got owls. So you're going to have the kids. So mom and dad, be prepared to take your kids on Saturday. To the
there
event.
You go. We've hit all the categories. What more do you need? Ice cream and owls.
You should bill it. What cruise are y'all doing on Saturday?
Actually, the cruise is called the Raptors of the Delta Cruise. We're literally going to seek out a few places where we have seen things like ospreys and eagles and try to talk about that, to kind of work that in tandem with the program. It's going to be a cruise that's specifically devoted to looking for these things.
Do you happen to be passing any power lines that have giant osprey nests on them?
We very well might, yes, sir.
These things are major constructions there. So that's cool. They could do all that coming up on Saturday. And do they need to get tickets ahead of time, or how does that work?
Yeah, just blakeleypark.com. You can pre-register for everything. Most things are complimentary with admission. So if you pay for one, you pay for the Raptor program. You've got admission for the others. If you pay for the cruise, you've got admission for the other things in the park. The only thing you really don't need to pre-register for is the ice cream truck, which will just be there during the day.
All right. What do we jump forward in the schedule too, and talk about next month? Do you have anything online yet for Fort Bims, or what's happening for?
We are. We're going to be cruising again up at the Fort Mims site or in Alabama River, close to Mims, and we actually have that on the website now, that we're doing some cruises on Saturday and Sunday during the reenactment at Mims that focus on telling the history that's associated with that area. The Alabama River Journey is one of them, and it's a voyage into the Tensaw Country. So that's an hour and a half and an hour long cruise. we'll be doing those several times over that weekend.
Yeah, and y'all have done this one, and it's fascinating. If you're even if you're new to this, or if you're a nerd about our history, and you think about the Battle of Fort Mims, but in reading about it, it's like, okay, there's what happens at Fort Mims, but what happened, you know, as people came and went from the fort, and that's the stuff you get to show us on the river. You're like, okay, here's where they would have been down on the river. Here's the landing, all that. That was fascinating.
Yeah, that one's a fun one to do. You get to see an old ferry landing. You talk about, you know, as you said, the context of the situation, where people were coming from, how the ferry ran, et cetera, and then you can tie it to some specific spots associated with the battle and with the Creek War. So that one's a lot of fun, a unique one we only do once a year during the reenactment.
Okay, and it was funny. This came up last week on the show, and I said, somebody called in, and I was talking about something. They said, well, you know, we were the 13th colony. I said, well, no, we weren't the 13th, but we were the 14th. This discussion came up. I said, and lucky for you, I know that next week, being now, my buddy Mike Bunn, who wrote the book on this, is joining us. Tell folks about your book, and what is the 14th colony?
Well, Mobile area is sort of dead center in what was a British colony at the time of the Revolution called West Florida. So I have written a history of that entity, and it was every bit of a British colony as Georgia or Massachusetts or anything else. It just did not rebel against the home government, but I always call it the 14th colony just to kind of pique people's interest, let them know that there's a forgotten story in addition to the 13 we all know about. So that's what that's all about.
You wonder if it was, and why it wouldn't, I mean, what was different here? Was it its distance from, you know, Philadelphia, distance from Boston, or what was it that kept the rebellion from coming here?
It's a combination of things that I'll try to summarize in just a few seconds. One, it was a brand new colony. That really hadn't had time to develop its own networks and really feel threatened by some of the things that was happening elsewhere, and they didn't get regular information about it. And the second is literal just distance and relationships. They were not regularly trading or getting news from the other colonies. Now, if you put this thing happening a few decades later, they may have been much more enmeshed with the system. But when it came about, they frankly thought of it as somebody else's problem 1,000 miles away. We have plenty on our plate trying to develop the colony. So that's sort of a overview in a nutshell about how the colony did not feel that it was part of what was happening on the Eastern Seaboard.
There you go. And it's all in the book, and you can read that and a whole bunch of other books. If they would have, like, what's the best way to find your books in one place?
If you want a complete listing of everything that I've done, you go to my website, mikebunn.net, but everything that I've published is on Amazon.
Good stuff. All right, and reset here, y'all. Saturday, what time does it start?
The cruise is going to go off at 9 o'clock. We've got events happening before and after. Auburn University Raptors are there at 11 and 12, but everything's on the website, blakeleypark.com. Go to the events page. It'll show everything that's happening and when.
Mike, it's always a pleasure, man. We'll catch up soon.
Great to talk.
Next month. Next month, we got to have a Fort Mims talk.
100%. We definitely will.
All right. There he goes. Mike Bunn over at Historic Blakely State Park. Also, author of so many great history books. You want to get a beyond our, what was our textbook? Remember, we're Know Alabama, KNOW, the book that, I remember my copy smelled like, I mean, a grandma would have smelled it and said, my gosh, at the mothballs. But, and we learned some stuff about our state, but there's so much more. And Mike's one of these great authors that puts meat on the bone, not just saying these people were here, these people were there. Well, why were these people trading with these people? Why were these people interested in what the other people were doing? All that is in his books, and it's really great. I mean, the history of Mobile before the Civil War, right? That's what we're talking about here with 14th Colony and other books he's written. What about that history? It's in there. So check him out. Yeah, Mike Bunn, two N's, B-U-N-N. All right, let me get some text here, and we got to go back here a ways. Jason talked about the opening act there for the, I don't know, Dalton gave me an education, not that he knew, but he had educated himself, I guess, today with this Matt Matthews being the grand opening. It says the Alabama native Matt Matthews brings his Not What I Ordered World Tour to Regions Arena, coming up on March 6th of 2027, the venue's grand opening celebration, even though we'll be Mardi Gras before that. Mardi Gras is real early this year. It says the performance also marked the first comedy show at Regents Arena. I guess this guy is popular on TikTok. Says he is a comedian, singer-songwriter who's a native of Birmingham and captured national attention during the pandemic with his viral farm chore videos. I have not seen those, but that's... And I mentioned as we went to the break, if we do want to bring an Alabama comic to the new Regents Arena or anywhere, if you're... I got people that do that comedy thing. They're listening in town. Derek Stroop, that guy is so dang funny. That I don't know if y'all have ever seen him. If not... Why don't you give that a Google and see what comes up. Derek Stroop, if you grew up in the 80s or 90s in Alabama, it's just, he's spot on. Very, very funny. Let's see. DEI Texter said, where were these calls for decorum and respect when Bob Mueller died or when Rob Reiner was killed? Okay, DEI Texter, did I say anything different back then? I can only answer for myself. I'm an individual. DEI Texter said, can we go back and you would check? Maybe you would pull the tape on that one? I'm consistent, if anything. Let's see. Oh, wow. Here we go. Adam says he will not be the only act. I still think the Red Clay Strays will headline the event. Hoping so anyway. Adam, are we hoping or did you get like, I mean, I can sit and hope, you know, did somebody tell you something? That would be cool. The Strays would be perfect for that. Buford said, no to robot built houses. Call me old fashioned, but I prefer my houses built by illegals and meth heads. I'll get to that story in a second. Let's see. Scorverine, my third grade history book was called This is Alabama. I think we had that one, but I had the, am I the only one that remembers it was like KNOW, Alabama, no Alabama. Wish I, maybe I'll dig around on eBay or something. There's probably a copy out there I could force my children to read. That would be perfect. Yeah, the story that Buford had reacted to, it's, yeah, I mean, there's several places it's up. This one's from like a week or two ago over at U.S. News and World Report. I guess there's still World Report as well. Said, why your next 30-year mortgage might be for a 3D-printed house built by a robot. A new partnership between Wells Fargo and Icon is paving the way for buyers to secure standard 30-year financing on 3D printed homes. So Wells Fargo moving in because other lenders wouldn't lend on the 3D printed homes. Wait, we'll get time. We'll get back and talk about this. 251-343-0106.
Is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:51 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile 251-343-0106. How you get in touch? Speaking of getting in touch, let me talk to my friend Anna at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Get a week starter here. And on this Monday, how are precious metals? What gold, silver, what's happening with those today?
They're still on the downtrend, so it's a great buying opportunity for those who are thinking of investing into gold and silver or wanted to add to their collection.
Okay, so you could two things, obviously buying opportunity, but you've talked about people too that just like bringing in scrap, gold, you know, just jewelry they don't wear. They only have, like, ladies have one side of an earring or not the other. They've lost whatever. And they're getting some real cash.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you could, you know, depending on what you have, it could be a couple $100 to $500. Some people bought stuff and that was over $1,000. You know, you just never know.
So if it's sitting there, I mean, you know, make your move on it. And then I got to ask you about jewelry, too. I said this last week. You know, Ron and I talk a lot about the precious metals. You and I do as well. But you are, I mean, you're a personal concierge when it comes to jewelry. So, guys, if y'all think about buying jewelry, you buy the first piece, you know, go in there, and it helps you go through it. But when you have success with one piece of jewelry, then she can tell you, like, the other ones that she's going to like. It's a nice, I mean, I don't know how you do it, but you do it.
Yeah, that's what I do on the daily. And we actually started to post more jewelry on Facebook as well, so that's something that they can view before they come in.
Y'all go take advantage of this. Stop by and see Anna and say, okay, I got to buy a gift for such and such. I'm thinking she likes earrings, she likes rings, she likes whatever. And do the first one, and then it opens up. Then when future events come up, she goes, okay, she liked the this and that, so therefore she'll probably like the this and that. It's great. So tell folks how to find you.
We're 2204 Government Street in Midtown Mobile. They can find us on Facebook, on our website, mobilebaycoins.com, or they can call the shop. Phone number here is 251-725-1590. Thanks, Sean.
Hey, thank you, Anna. There goes Anna at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. All right, a little bit more from this story about the 3D printed houses. Like I said, I've been sitting on this story for a week and a half or so, but fits in with the discussing, you know, what happened here with the bill that was passed, the bipartisan bill. The bill, you know, with the Road Act, the Road to Housing Act, you know, it's Washington. There's always an acronym. Honestly, they spend more time, I think, with figuring out what's a cutesy acronym for something than the actual, you know, what they're doing. All right. So, but the story here, and we'll come back to that, but it talks about Wells Fargo. So the headline here, kind of the thing that's different is Wells Fargo, I guess, 2 weeks ago announced that they would finance 3D printed homes. So I guess this technology for 3D printed homes has been out there. They've been doing it, but for the period of time, the lenders have said no. So they didn't, they said, what was it? They quoted no comparables for this to value the homes. They didn't understand the financials, whatever. So Wells Fargo has said, we'll lend on this now. It says, Austin, it said, building a home is a lengthy process. Thanks to new technology, it doesn't have to be. Austin, Texas-based construction technology company Icon, I-C-O-N, has developed a 3D printing system, which, you know, people are doing the 3D printing. Leanna's getting very good at this. Cool stuff she's making. But they developed a 3D printing system that can build a home in under 7 days and sometimes much less time. And while getting a mortgage on a 3D home has historically been difficult, Wells Fargo announced an agreement with Icon to serve as a preferred lender for 3D printed residential properties. Not only will Wells Fargo underwrite 30-year mortgages for these homes, but it's also offering a 50 basis point interest rate incentive to borrowers. And industry experts are calling it a game changer. It says here further in the story from U.S. News and World Report. I said, why lenders have hesitated to fund the 3D printed homes. It says Icon's been building these homes for years. It introduced its first model in 2018, but traditionally it's been difficult for buyers to find financing. It says Stephen Parangi, licensed mortgage loan originator at Alpine Mortgage Services in Montvale, New Jersey. There's a lot to say there. Said the initial lender hesitation was completely understandable. A mortgage is not just a loan to a borrower. It's also a loan secured by property. If a lender is unsure how the property will age, whether the comparable sales exist, whether insurers will cover, or whether investors will buy the loan, that creates risk. Another associate broker in New York said, the issue with the non-traditional construction has never been the home itself. It's that the conventional appraisers struggle to comp it. Okay. And then, so I guess Wells Fargo has figured this out. They've come in here and they're gonna make the loans. It said the market's looking at this. Once a major lender writes standard mortgages against 3D homes, the appraisers will get pushed to build real comparable sales data, which these homes have historically lacked. So there you go. Maybe it's all starting to happen here. 3D printed homes. What do y'all think? They put them out. I guess send them as parts, you know, and put them together. As CB Carl says, Sean, I'm a bit older than you, and from a Sears and Roebuck family. Do you remember that back in the early 20th century, you could buy a house from the catalog and it would be delivered by train for assembly? I have seen that. Isn't that the Craftsman style? Didn't that kind of, because would you see a lot of that in Baldwin County too? But Craftsman like Sears, isn't that like architectural style called Craftsman because of it being in the homes that they sent? And you get a lot of that stuff now, right? It's, log cabin kits, shed kits, and all that stuff that they send you all the pieces and put it together. You put it together yourself. But I think I remember it's Craftsman. And that's craftsman style comes from the fact that it was the design. I'm sure I'll be corrected on that if I'm wrong here. 251-343-0106. Let's see. Supermom said Matt Matthews is not funny. I'd like starting off sentence. Then says he's not most people's humor, I wouldn't think. He has a crack mom and doesn't talk to his siblings. He takes jabs at people. That's his humor. He's more cruel than funny. He's not funny on his own. Someone like Nate Bargatze, I could never say. Nate Bargatze. There you go. Nate Bargatze is funny on his own, if that makes sense. He is funny. That guy's funny. And I don't know if you know, and he's a Southern. He's out of Tennessee, isn't he? But for Alabama comedians, I know there's many out there, but this Derek Stroop guy, he's been on the scene a few years now. I think he's very funny. David, how does the 3D printed home stand up to the fortified home program for hurricane survivability? We'll give that a big, I don't know. I have no idea. I don't know if there are enough of them out there to do that. But 3D printed homes. Kind of interesting, though. All right, coming right back, hour number two of Midday Mobile, 251-343-0106.